The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today's episode of the Second Print Comics Podcast is brought to you by the fantastic Mr. Fox and his fantastic coffee, which you can find over at foxandsons.com. That's right, it's Fox and Sons, the official coffee brand of Second Print Comics. These guys literally fuel this show. My man, Stephen Fox, has all the best beans you could ever imagine. You just got to go get yourself a sample and give yourself the SBC discount. So head over to foxandsons.com, FOXNSONS.com, and use discount code SECONDPRINTPOD. That's going to get you 15% off your order. I promise you, my friends, once you go Fox and Sons, there is no going back. Enjoy today's show. Hey, 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 comic fans. How are you? It's me. It's your old pal, Mark. There's no Remzo here. Instead, taking his place, someone who's done much more for my comic growth would be the man who introduced me to comics in the very first place, Eric, great patron of ours. What's up?
Hey, Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. You know, it's always a strange combination of feeling weird when Remzo's not here, but also feeling more relaxed when he's not here. I don't know why that is. It's very odd.
I can't believe it. He is a little intimidating when he's on.
It's a little intimidating.
He brings that Deacon Frost kind of energy.
That Deacon Frost energy. If you're someone laughing at that joke, then you're a true fan. That's what I will say, and I will not go any further. Check out the SBC draft if you don't get the Deacon Frost joke. It's very, very funny. You just got to listen to about an hour and 45 minutes of podcast to get to it. That's all. But I am here today for a very special little chat with Eric, because Eric here, while Remzo is out in assignment, I'm bringing you in to be my New York City Comic-Con exclusive reporter. You actually attended last weekend for four full days. That's hard to say. Four full days, is that correct?
Oh, I bought the 4-day pass, but I could only make it 3 days.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. You couldn't sell the last day and make a profit off this thing somehow?
I actually gave the last day to my coworker. He really wanted to go. He couldn't get a badge in time, so I called him up and I was like, hey, I can't go to the 4th day. Do you want to go?
How hard is it to get any ticket, first of all, to New York Comic Con? I went to this Comic Con a couple times when I was a kid, and I'm pretty sure, this is before online sales or anything like that. I don't think this is before online. My dad just brought me to the thing and we went in. It wasn't a big deal. But I know for San Diego Comic Con, sometimes you just can't go. It's hard to really get tickets. You got to get on a list and you got to go in at a certain time. So how hard is it for the New York Comic Con nowadays?
Yeah, so it depends on when you want to go. Something like a 4-day pass, that those go pretty quick. But if you're willing to go on, say, the first day, the Thursday, you can get tickets up until the same day. I think on Thursday when I was there, they were probably at 70% capacity. So it's relatively easy depending on, what your schedule is, how many tickets you want, and what you want to see.
That's a less popular day just because it's the weekend, and I guess a lot of people are, go to their jobs.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's wrong with them, but yeah. I mean,
on Thursday too, there's still a little bit of setup going on. A lot of the exclusives aren't there. Some of the guests aren't there on Thursday.
I see.
Whereas Friday, Saturday, Sunday, those are a little bit more populated.
All right. So let's break this thing down. Then what was your experience like? Why don't we just start? We'll go chronologically. What was that first day like when there's still people being set up? Is there more of an opportunity to kind of get into the weeds on some of the vendors and talk to other, creators and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Just, what's the whole experience like?
Yeah. So I loved it. Last year I only went for 1 day. That's New York Comic Con is way too big to cram into one day. So having the 3 days was fantastic. The first day, I just took it to go and get all the exclusive comics that I wanted. For those who don't know, the exclusive comics are the ones you can just get at Comic Con. They have fancy covers, you know, different materials, stuff like that. So I had a whole list of things that I wanted to go get. And then I kind of took it from there and just explored the expo floor a little bit. And then I went and got some autographs that I wanted from some of the creators.
All right. Well, so we already talked about off air anyway, about a couple of the books you picked up. Which of those did you pick up the first day? Were those the really good ones?
Yeah. So if you want, so this is going to be a pro tip for anyone.
Yeah. Pro tips. That's the goal here I want a life hack. Anyone who's looking to go to a convention who doesn't just do the dumb thing and have no plan and just show up. And then you're like, wait a minute, what do I even do? You got to have a plan for these things, right?
That's exactly right. So if there is an exclusive that you want, if there's a comic book that you must have, get there the first day and get there early. I was there probably about an hour and a half before the con opened. I got in that queue line in the basement of the Javits Center. And I went right to the first booth that I wanted. I knew exactly what I wanted to get. And I was surprised. They had a surprise drop waiting for me, almost waiting for me. When I got
for
there,
you exclusively,
exclusive for me, and it was these two metal Berserker books. That it was a 1 of 5 and a 1 of 10, and I was able to pick them up. And I think I got number 1 of 10, and then like number 4 or 5. So it was pretty awesome that, you know, it just worked out timing wise.
So you went to that booth. Did you go there for something specific, and you also got the surprise, or were you just going there knowing it was a good booth?
Yeah, so I went there. So I guess it's both. So I knew that was a good booth. They had a number of exclusives that I was looking for. They had World Tree 1 through 5. That's a James Tynion book that's pretty hot right now with exclusive covers. It was limited 1 to 150. And then there was like a Star Wars book with Yoda covers. And it was the same Yoda cover. One was a trade variant, one was a version, and then one was a sketch version. And then they had a Berserker metal cover that was 1 of 50, and they were out of that one. I don't know how they were out of that one, but they had these other two instead. So I picked up the other two.
Crazy, crazy. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get into your own personal dealings necessarily, but let's just speak in hypotheticals. just broadly speaking, these surprise books, that they're not cheap by any means, but
no.
The minute you drive them off the lot, unlike a car, they do tend to rise in value quickly, because obviously there's other people that might want these that were not there at the moment to get that you were there to get that book. So
exactly,
you
know,
roughly speaking, what kind of like turnaround can you see on some of this stuff if that were what you were looking to do with?
Yeah. So some of these exclusives, you can see huge turnarounds on, you know, a lot of these comics, you could see 3, 4, 5 times your value. You know, sometimes even more. There was one at San Diego Comic-Con that I heard was going for over $1,000. That was like a $150 pickup.
Wow.
And that was this year. So they can go for quite a bit, you know, off market, you know, for people that couldn't make it to the con. Which I think is kind of crazy.
It is, but I mean, really, if you played your cards right, you could. I mean, because it's not cheap to get these conventions, especially if you're doing a 4-day pass, and especially when you're staying in New York City. You know, this is not a cheap venture at all to get to one of these, even if you kind of live in the area like you do with New York City, let alone people flying out to San Diego cons and that sort of thing. But if you play your cards right and you're smart, it might make sense to fly even a day earlier and just get your ass to a booth and get one of these, because odds are you're not going to lose money, right? You're going to be able to sell it to, you could turn around and sell it to a guy who just missed out at worst case. You know, you're not going to lose out.
Yeah. Most of the exclusives sell, unless you get something that's an extraordinarily obscure book, it's probably going to sell for you. So the likelihood that you're going to make a little bit of a profit on it, even if it's just a couple bucks, if that's your game, then yeah, it's pretty good venture.
All right. Well, that's a pro tip there. Now, what you said, you got a couple books signed that first night too. What did you get signed? Who'd you
see? Yeah. So I went, I saw Chris Claremont. Whenever I go to a con,
he's like an all-time legend for you. I mean, for everybody, but even more so for you, I'd say.
Yeah. So if anyone listened to the SBC draft, I went from Chris Claremont to Bill Sienkiewicz. So Bill Sienkiewicz has been
both surprisingly alive. I had to look those up.
Yeah, both still alive. So Bill Sienkiewicz eluded me at the last convention that I was at. And I finally
you mean
got
that literally you were trying to get, you were trying to chase him and he kept, you know, kept ducking and
yeah, he was juking corners. Behind the booths for me. And he's like, I don't want your money, Eric. I don't want it. And I was like, but I got it. Take it. So it was pretty cool, being able to meet him and just get him to sign the books, that I had. I had a Wolverine number 10, and then I had a New Mutants 19, which is his famous, Demon Bear cover. If anyone's familiar with that cover, so
that
I
was like
that
the
one.
Whole plot of that New Mutants movie was the
it was yeah concept. Exactly right
from
exactly
what I right. hear
yeah yeah I would go with what you heard and not go and see it.
I legit haven't seen it. No, I it literally is from what I hear because Remzo saw it, and as you know, because he's Remzo, he's gonna see it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna shame you for not seeing New Mutants.
And were they pretty personable? I mean, I think for guys like that, I always picture them like, I feel like I would be so nervous for no reason. They're just, especially because they're not real life superstars. Like, they can walk down the street just fine. No one is recognizing them unless they're down the street of the Javits Center at New York City Comic Con. So what was meeting those guys like?
Exactly right. So Chris Claremont is about the nicest guy you could possibly meet. He takes his time with each person that comes in line to talk to him. He'll flip through your book. He'll tell you different stories about the book. And he wants to talk to each fan. So he's fantastic to meet. He's maddening to stay in line for because he's taking that time.
I was
going to
say that's probably great, except for the entire time you're in line. And when it's you, it's probably the best part. You're like, oh, great. Yeah. Thank God.
But you know, he's really a nice guy. So I met him, John Beatty, who, did Secret Wars. He did some Batman. I met him. He's a really nice guy. He did a sketch for me on a, you know, a comic book blank. So I have that coming.
So how does that work then with the sketches? This is going to be like conventions 101. Like if people haven't been there ever, cause I have, but it's been a while. And the one I went to out in Tampa is not the level of this kind of thing that we're talking about. So when you pay for a sketch and do you just basically describe, cause you're going to get it later in the mail, he's not doing it all right there. Do you sort of just describe what you want? He takes notes. Does he start it? What's the process like?
Totally depends on the artist. Totally depends on the artist. Some artists will do it right there for you. You can watch them do the sketch for you. Usually if they're doing something that's just like, you know, a remark, which is like a small like head sketch, or if they're just doing a bust, sometimes they'll do it right there for you live. Especially if they don't have a line. If you're looking at something full body or you're looking for something with color that's a little bit more detail oriented, sometimes they'll take that away and have it for you the next day. That's what I had with John Beatty. Is I gave him a blank comic book. I said, hey, I'd like really like a Batman on this. I paid him. And then he took it away and texted me the next day. I said, hey, come and get it. It's ready. I had another
now
one.
Now you have his number.
I have a number. I don't think it's his number.
You might have his assistance number or something.
Yeah, I think have his temporary assistance number. That's right. and then another artist that I had do something very similar for me on the Transformers book. I had him do a sound wave for me. I had him do a full body, full color sketch, and he had to take it away because he was really busy that con. And he asked me, he's like, hey, do you mind if I send this to you later? And he sent it to me a couple of days after the con, and it came in great condition.
Awesome. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I wonder if some guys just go home with like, you know, a whole folder of half drawn things. I'm like, wait, was this supposed to be, shit, who is that? Is that Soundwave? I think so.
Yeah.
Going with Soundwave. I don't know.
Yeah, no idea. Could be Optimus. No idea. Could be an amalgam between the two.
Well, I saw that Soundwave. You said that to me. It did look pretty cool. And I knew it was Soundwave without being prompted. So I think he did a good job.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely, that was Andrew Lee Miller. He's a fantastic artist. He did Transformers for IDW.
Ah, very interesting. Okay. So, all right, moving on to, let's go to day two. Guide us through some of the events. Are there new exclusive books every day then?
Yeah. So there's exclusive drops, plus they kind of stretch out the exclusives day to day. So if you didn't get, so if something's like a one in say, I don't know, 600, they'll drop 150 the first day, 150 the second day, 150 the third day, and then 150 the fourth day. And they'll space them out. That's some vendors. Some vendors will just do it the full first day, and then good luck to you.
Yeah.
There were a whole bunch of exclusives that were sold out.
So who cares?
Yeah, there were a whole bunch that were sold out first day. You know, there was Venom.
Getting there first day would be the key if you really want to make this like a cornerstone of your sort of convention strategy.
If you want to make sure that you are getting that exclusive that you must have, that first day is key. Not only are there fewer people there, but the line, and because of that, the lines are shorter, and you're almost guaranteed to get the books that you're looking for, unless they're really limited edition, like, you know, limited to five, then good luck to you. So second day, I guess the big bright spot for my second day is I had a what they call private signing. It was really a reserved signing with an artist named Peach Momoko.
Sounds very intimate.
It wasn't.
I picture a candlelight dinner, you know, you're sitting down.
You know? Yeah, wine. just to have like a little, you know, four course meal. It's real nice, real nice. Now, it was right there.
That I would pay for. If you give me, we're not talking about a sketch artist, although he did used to draw. But you, I don't know what I would pay for a four course meal with like Alan Moore, for example. A lot,
right?
Whatever I have, whatever my credit card will run, I should say.
Right, right. So I, so that was the. It was on artist. It was in Artist Alley, which is what they call where all the artists are sitting. And it was basically just go stand in line. You have a reserved, signing with her. And it was free. She wasn't charging for signatures. You could go up with five books. They all had to be different. She would sign all of them for free.
She's like, I will do this. I will do this slave labor all day long. I will just not sign the same book two times in a row.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And she had, I guess there was an incident last year at her, signing table. 'Cause she's been a pretty hot cover artist for a couple of years now, and I guess there was an incident last year where there was a fist fight broke out at her table, and she ended up hiding under her table last year. So she had very burly security guards that I had to look up to, and okay. I'm not a short guy.
Was it nerds like fighting over her honor, like trying to win her honor, or what was it?
No. The rumor that I heard is someone cut in front of someone else, and nerds got mad. The nerds got big mad about it. So.
Yeah, you know, I've seen nerd rage in my day. Look,
yeah,
and we're self-depreciating here, all right?
That's
we
exactly
are nerds
right.
ourselves, of course, or we wouldn't be sitting on a podcast
talking about comics,
being at a convention of comics. So
exactly right.
Moving on. Cool.
Yep. And then the other two big signings I had that day were with Jim Lee.
Nice.
So that one was awesome. Got to meet him the second time I met him.
Obviously, you can't get a sketch from Jim Lee because you don't have 12 days to spare. So
I also don't have whatever thousands of dollars he would want for for that kind of sketch. He was charging like $150 for his COVID sketchbook.
What's his copies COVID of it? Sketchbook. So what he did when he was bored at home in COVID.
Yeah, he drew a bunch of stuff during COVID and put it into a sketchbook and called it his COVID sketchbook.
I don't know if I want to see that. I feel like I'm going to see the darkest regions of Jim Lee's mind. I saw some of his
Psylocke sketches in there and it looked pretty good.
Oh, well, don't tell 13-year-old me about that. Let me tell you, cause he's not going to care about spending that $150. I'll tell you that.
Exactly right.
That's
exactly
a problem for right. future Mark. We'll let him worry about that. That's really interesting that he turned just his random COVID drawings into a Comic-Con, a sale
for $150. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody. It's my first day. I sometimes run the open in the middle of a podcast. So you're telling me that even as the editor-in-chief of... Is he still hold that title? Editor-in-chief of DC Comics?
I think so, yeah.
Of DC Comics, this guy's still got to sling his sketchbooks on the side for extra cash? My God.
Yeah.
Tough time. I guess the Warner doesn't pay like I thought they might.
I guess not. And his pre-made sketches were like $800 or $900. I was like, no, thank
you. I mean, that's fair because you know it takes him like 10 hours, so he's got to be fairly compensated here. He is Jim Lee. I'm not going to argue with that.
That is true. And then the last big signing that I had was Rob Liefeld.
Nice. What was it like getting the Rob signing?
He is interesting.
I imagine he'd be interesting. Yeah.
His signature is stupid expensive though.
What book did he get signed?
X-Force number 2, which is the second appearance of Deadpool. I would not, if I had known how much it was going to be, I would not have waited in that line.
You didn't know until you got up there?
I did not know until I got up there.
Wait, there was they don't no tell price. You don't know ahead of time?
There was no price listed.
Oh, is this like a fancy restaurant when they, when a restaurant's really fancy, there's just no price on the menu and you're like, well, I guess I'm spending a lot.
Yeah, if you can't, don't ask if you can't afford it. So,
so he's like the prime steak at this thing then, even more so than Jim Lee.
He is the most expensive signature that I got. Oh. And he had a la carte signatures. So if you wanted an X-Force book signed, it was this price. If you wanted a key X-Force book signed, it was another price. If you wanted like his other book signed, they were like priced out. X-Force book was $100 to get signed.
Any X-Force book?
Any X-Force book, except for there was one, I forget which number it was, but New Mutants 98 was like $150 if you wanted it signed. That's first appearance of Deadpool. Wow. I was just like,
so did you play normal X-Force price for your X-Force number 2?
Yeah, mine was $100.
All right, he didn't count second appearance as a...
No, thank God.
On a technicality.
Thank God not, no. Mm-mm.
Interesting. I do wonder if how much the success of Rob's podcast, which I do enjoy quite a bit. I mean, he's obviously a very popular artist anyway, so I don't know if he needs the podcast. But I do wonder if there's a little bit of like, you know, if the newer generation is more familiar with him because they stumble on the podcast and that sort of thing.
His line was really long.
How did his line compare to like, were any of the other original Image founders besides Jim Lee there as well? Was he the most popular of that crew?
Yeah.
And Todd at this thing?
Todd was not there.
Buds!
No Todd.
Buds! We gotta go to the con, Buds!
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. No, I think he's signed out. I think he's signed every comic book he's ever come across.
He's just done.
Yeah, anything. He's like, I'm done. I've signed them all.
Now he just signs them as they come off the
print. Exactly right. So Eric Larson was there too.
Okay. You didn't wait in the line for Eric?
I did wait in line for Eric.
Oh, you did? Larson. Did you meet him?
We haven't gotten to that day Eric yet. Larson.
Is that day 3?
No, I met him on day 2.
Okay. Oh, good. We're still on day 2. Good. I wanted to say chronological. Two, yeah. All right. Tell me, did you mention me?
I did not mention you by name. No.
What, did you get some stuff signed?
I did get something signed.
What did you get signed?
None of your business.
Oh, what? None of my business. What are you talking about? You're on a podcast. This is all business. You really don't want to tell me?
I got something signed.
You're just going to leave it at that?
I'm going to leave it at that.
All right. Fair enough. Interesting. So, but did you have any, I'm curious now, I got to know, did you have any kind of conversation with him or?
Yeah. I did talk to him. I didn't talk politics.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have either, to be honest.
Yeah. You know, I just talked to him about, what he was working on. He mentioned his writer's block and he's how he got through it.
All about it. He's through it because is he through it? Because I still haven't seen this book in a couple months.
I mean, he's pumping them out. They're not recognizable as good Savage Dragon books, but
I mean, they're still been pretty slow. I mean, there was literally about, I think there was a year where literally like 2 came out. So yes, he has, I guess compared to that, he has picked up the pace, but we're still looking at several months between books.
Yeah. But, right before I was in line, he was going over a portfolio of a kid's portfolio. Kid withdrew some comic pages, and Eric just spent some time with him going through the pages and gave him some advice, you know, on how to frame it better and how to, you know, make the backgrounds look a little bit more realistic and stuff like that. So, you know, he seems like a good guy. He has a really unique drawing style. I've never seen
I absolutely love Eric Larson's drawing style and his writing on that character. And that's why no matter what, I'll always have affinity for Eric Larson. And I take Eric Larson with a grain of salt, you know, as much as I have argued, you could say. We didn't even get to the point of arguing. I was blocked.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
After not too long, with Eric Larson and on political matters and then this sort of thing. And needless to say, we don't see eye to eye. But in regular life, I have friends who I don't see eye to eye with, and I get along with them fine. And I think I would get along with Eric Larson fine in real life. But, you know, not on the internet. It's not meant to be on the internet for him and I. That's for sure. So that's really cool. All right. So you didn't mention me at all. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
I did not mention you. No. I didn't want to get like blocked from the con. I didn't want to get thrown out.
That's true. That's true. You got to be careful. Got to be careful out there. All right. Is that any other highlights of day three? Day two? Did you see any? Did you go to any like talks or anything like that? I never do that.
I wanted to, but I was so bogged down with what I had on my agenda that I didn't make it to any.
Got a serious schedule.
Yeah, I did. I had all these artists I wanted to hit up, and you know, there were exclusives I wanted to go to. Plus, the expo floor is massive.
This is a total side tangent. This has nothing to do with comics. I also want to know what you ate these days, because I love New York City food. But you're probably not. I don't know if you're getting the good stuff in the Javits Center. Were you leaving for food? I want to know the whole experience.
There is no good stuff at the Javits Center. I'll tell you that much. It is overpriced and.
Like a $12 hot dog, but it's not even the same hot dog that would on the street, which is actually awesome.
Yeah, no. It was, so the hot dogs, because I got a salad. I actually ate healthy. I got a salad next to the hot dog stand. The hot dogs were made on a George Foreman grill.
That just seems inefficient. I have made hot dogs on a Foreman grill before. It's not that crazy. But to do it in bulk for a convention seems like an odd choice.
Yep. There was this huge George Foreman. It was like the George Foreman Deluxe.
Oh, wow.
And they were just cooking them up in the vac and serving them out. But yeah, those hot dogs were like $10 a pop, you know, a little bit less than Yankee Stadium. And, you know, they didn't come with anything. There were no fries there. It was, you got some hot dogs that may or may not be Nathan's or Sabrette, but you're right. The ones out on the street are much better.
Always. When they're fresh out of that New York City water, it says something about them.
Gotta love the dirty water.
It doesn't feel right, but it feels also right at the same time.
Yeah, exactly right. So I primarily brought my own stuff. I brought like energy bars and stuff like that.
It's a smart
because
thing.
As you know, when I'm on a mission, I'm very focused on what I'm doing, and sometimes I forget to eat.
You go off and getting breakfast. Next thing you know, you missed all your exclusive books, and you know what was the point?
Missed my artist. I wasted an hour. You know, I had to go out of the con, and then I had to get back into it, which is no thank you.
I still can't believe. So, was Liefeld the only one who's you didn't know the price until you got up there, or are some of them like the same way? But you know, it's not going to be so crazy, so it's fine. You're just going to wait.
So he's the only one I was taken aback by. I couldn't believe how much he was charging, and the fact that he was charging by book type was even crazier. Like someone else, like John Beatty, was doing the same thing. But nowhere near as crazy. If you wanted a Secret Wars number 8 signed, which is first appearance of Black Suit Spider-Man, he wanted a little bit more for that. But he wanted 35, where he wanted like 20 for his normal autograph. Which I still think is a little shady, because sometimes people just want an autograph and they want to get it CGC'd. They don't want to get the autograph to resell it. They want it for them, and they want a nice display piece.
Right. And because really, if it's a key issue, it's maybe less likely that you're going to get it signed if you're actually trying to preserve the issue and sell it as the issue. So if you're getting it for you, it's more likely you're a fan and you just want to have it on your wall or whatever. And
exactly right.
Look, I'm all for capitalism. I'm not going to criticize their right to charge, but I don't like it either. So I don't think I would do that myself. But then again, I'm not Rob fucking Liefeld. So who knows what I would do.
Right. But, you know, I agree, too. There's a lot of resellers out there who are getting these things signed to just flip them as opposed to collecting.
So is that why they do it to make money? But is it also to prevent against that.
Yeah, because a lot of artists charge more for a CGC signature if you're getting it, if you're going to get it graded. Oh, so CGC is a grading company. With
CGC or something like that.
No. Because they think that if you're getting it graded, that you're going to resell it. So they want more money for that.
They want their cut up front. They're like, all right, we know what's going on here. So let's make this a commission-based deal, essentially.
Exactly right.
All right. Well, more power to all the capitalists at the end of the day. All right. Yeah. Moving on to day three. Puppy up for us.
Yeah. So day three was another big day for me. I spent a lot of time walking around the expo floor. There were a lot of weird announcements that day. That was the Saturday. So there are two really weird collabs that I didn't think made any sense. Eli Manning was there hanging out with Marvel. No idea why Eli was hanging out with Marvel.
The only thing I can possibly think is just only because of the New York City connection, but I still can't think of any possible association why he would be at a convention.
He's apparently going to be doing something with Marvel. He came out with a Captain America shield.
Is this the new J.J. Abrams son? Are we going to have Eli Manning? You're writing fucking Squirrel Girl here? Like, well,
Eli and Peyton going to be writing some comics.
Maybe he's just a comic fan. Anyway, if he's actually working on something, it would be hard. You know what? It's brilliant marketing. It would be so hard for me to resist reading a book by Eli Manning out of sheer curiosity. So I support it.
And then the other weird one was Kid Cudi, who's a rapper. Nobody knows who Kid Cudi is.
I do know who Kid Cudi is.
He was at the con with a big announcement. So he's collabing with Star Trek, because that makes sense. He's doing Kid Cudi and Star Trek streetwear.
Interesting.
Plus, he's got his own comic coming out on Moon Man. Moon Girl, Moon Man.
No CM Punk appearance at the Comic Con?
You know, I didn't see CM Punk, but Danhausen was in the house walking around. He? Yeah.
Just hanging out.
He was there for autographs on I think Thursday or Friday, and then he was walking around.
Was there much of a pro wrestling contingent? Because there is an odd overlap. Maybe it's not that odd because we're into both. So between pro wrestling and comics. So tell me more about that.
So there certainly was. So down in the autograph section, there's like a whole celeb section where you can go get photo ops and you can get signatures from celebrities. So there was a huge contingent from AEW. I think it's AEW. Sting was there.
Were they doing autographs too?
Yeah, they were doing photo ops and autographs.
You didn't get a Sting autograph?
I did not, no.
You had too much business to take care of.
Yeah, I did get an autograph down there next to Sting's booth. I actually got one from John Carpenter, who did Halloween.
Oh, wow.
Those who are not familiar with it. He also wrote a comic book.
You know, Remzo disrespects Halloween. You heard the Halloween
episode. I heard that, and I was very, very disappointed that he didn't like Halloween. I originally thought he got Halloween 1 confused with Halloween 3, and he was hating on that, which I can understand.
At first, that wasn't the case, sadly. Yeah.
And then he said nobody gets killed right away, and I'm like, that's literally the opening scene.
Yeah, I know. It's Remzo we're talking about, you know? It's these millennials. Yeah. It's the millennials.
Confusing.
They don't know what's going on, and they don't really know what's good, and they don't really understand anything. And what Remzo doesn't understand is that any horror movie he likes because of Halloween. even ones that came out before it. I don't care why. I don't care if it makes sense or not.
That's exactly right.
While we're going on a little tangent, I should follow up on this. Because on that episode, I mentioned how I had never actually watched The Exorcist from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And I finally just said, you know what? I'm going to correct this. So with my wife's permission, because she didn't really like the idea of the bad energy of The Exorcist even being played in the house, but she decided it was fine. So we watched The Exorcist, and I think it's probably like Remzo. I think it's a really good movie, and I can see why it's the best movie. Knowing that it came before so much other stuff. And so it's weird watching it now, though, because I've seen all these scenes in other movies and now I'm like, oh, that's what that's parroting. Like the thing where someone pees on the floor, that's like, that's been so many movies. So it tied everything together, and it gave me the full respect. And it's certainly a frightening movie, especially as Remzo would say, the real story of The Exorcist is actually scarier than the movie itself. So
yes.
Anyway, we'll leave that at that. Back to the con. What else we got?
Yeah. So wrestling stuff. So outside of the celebrity signings for AEW, who is the main wrestling organization there, up on the expo floor, there were a whole bunch of other wrestlers. Buff Bagwell was there.
other wrestlers, meaning they don't work for anybody. They just go to conventions and hope
they're retired. Ted DiBiase was there.
Wow.
And I saw a couple of others there too, which is really cool. Demolition was there. I don't know how Demolition was there.
These are all the same names, because I've been to most WrestleManias the last decade, and we always go to the corresponding conventions, and these are all the same names that are all those conventions.
Yeah.
It's your Buck Bagwell. It's basically everyone that wrestled ever that doesn't wrestle now. They go to conventions.
Exactly right. And I think one of the cool things that happened at the con that kind of went under the radar a little bit is that Charlie Cox showed up dressed up as this blue guy and walked around the con.
Was it just a random blue guy, or was it an actual?
Yeah, he was just painted blue. I don't know what he was supposed to be, but he was just painted blue and he walked around the con as Blue Charlie Cox.
Was he trying to not be seen as Charlie Cox, or did he want everyone to go, "Hey, there's Charlie Cox dressed in blue"? Or
we're not sure.
We're not sure his motivations, I guess.
I'm not sure what his motivation was, but
did you know he's British?
I did not know he was British.
This is another one. This keeps happening to me. And at this point, I'm starting to think that every actor is secretly British, or there's some crazy psyop going on. I had no idea Doctor Strange was British till one day. He's just talking British. I had no idea. Really? I didn't know Spider-Man was British till one day. I watched his talk. What is this? And now, I mean, it never ends. They're all British.
I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch just looks British and his name screams British.
I mean, I really should have seen that one coming, to be honest. That one's kind of on me. I'm not giving Spider-Man a pass, though. He should not be British.
Yeah, should not be.
Anyway, enough about the Brits. It is interesting that there's a decent amount of wrestling overlap there. But what else? There were a couple of big announcements at this convention, too, including, tell me, how these announcements go down. Do they actually physically announce them at the convention, or do they just put out the news while the convention's going on?
So it's one of a couple things. So a lot of the booths, so some of the big booths, like the Marvel booth, they'll have different show times that you can go, and they'll do announcements at the booth. You know, they say, "Hey, coming up at 4, we've got something going on. Come over. We've got some exclusives we're giving out, some freebies. Come on over," and they draw a crowd. Some of the other announcements happen at the actual panels, right? So I guess there was like an announcement at one of the Walking Dead panels, you know, that Daryl Dixon was getting another season or something. And then there were a couple of announcements that happened at the Spawn panel that happened. And then there were a couple of announcements. There were some big announcements that happened at the Skybound panel. They were talking about bringing out, you know, they showed some art from Transformers number 2. They showed art.
Skybound
from,
is the Kirkman, like, it's the Kirkman label that's under Image that is the one that's going to have all that new sort of Transformers, the Energon universe.
The Energon universe, yeah. So they were talking about that. They were talking about the new G.I. Joe series that was coming out, some of the miniseries that were coming out, the Cobra Commander miniseries being one of them. And that one, I wish I had known about beforehand, but that was a reservation before the con type of panel. So there was zero chance I was getting into that one. That was kind of like you needed to be a VIP pass holder to get into the line first to register.
And then there was also this other announcement from Jeff Johns and Meltzer and Brian Hitch forming this new creator-owned company. Did you hear much buzz about this while you were at the convention?
No, none at all. And I talked to a fair number of my fellow nerds at the convention. And there was almost nothing about that.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think about hearing about it afterwards, though? Because it's almost like, I mean, it certainly doesn't feel like another Image revolution. I don't think there'll be anything like that. But it was pretty interesting, especially because it did seem, I don't know if he's still going to be, no, they're not, because it said they're all going to wrap up with everything they're working on. Because in the last 6 months, I mean, they have put out this sort of like this new golden age, which is like Jeff Johns' little corner of the DC universe right now.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't expecting this to come from him and this group of artists, but it does. It is interesting, as it always is when a group of well-known artists that have done a lot of work over the last years, especially Jeff Johns, one of the most prolific superhero writers, to be starting their own company. So what are your thoughts?
You know, I think it's really great. I think we're going to start seeing a lot of that happening with some artists and writers, because you have the same thing like I just mentioned with Skybound, right? That's the Kirkman label, where he's breaking off and he's taking a lot of talent with him. Like Josh Williamson is going over to Skybound to write the Cobra Commander miniseries.
He's going to be exclusive there too?
I'm not sure. I can't imagine DC letting imagine him go.
It, no.
He writes too many books. Jesus.
I'm surprised he's not exclusive with DC. Like, I'm surprised his contract even allows him to do that. So,
yeah, but he can just write 100 books a month and he's all good. But I think it's fantastic for the creators to be able to go out there and make their own money and not be bound by these large companies who are putting their, who are exerting their own will and their own agendas onto the comic books.
Yes. And it does seem like, I mean, at first, in the last 10, 15 years, we've seen the resurgence or the surgence, I guess, of manga and that sort of thing. And all of this is because there is always going to be this thirst for good stories, for interesting content, for relatable characters, and not for forced messaging and whatever messages. And I think there's been so much sort of backlash that at some point you can forget. Like, I think sometimes it can go too far that some creators they want to do a book that's pushing the other message. And then it's like, it's doing the other side of things. But I think what people are thirsting for is just stop pushing an agenda upon me from above. I don't think anybody minds a creator that has their own thoughts and that seeps into their work, because that's everybody that creates, but it's when it's this corporate agenda and it's just, and you see Disney putting out, I'm going to rant here a little bit because I made the mistake. It wasn't a mistake. It was purposeful, but just for fun to torture myself and to see what was happening. I watched one of these like behind the scenes things they have on Disney Plus of talking about all these, it was like new women writers of the new century or something like that. And it was the most disgusting part about all this. I don't care what color or gender anybody writing anything is. I just want fucking good stories. But these people, they do care because they don't even care about what I care about, because they, many of them, openly admit and brag about the fact that they never read the comics. They don't care about the comics. They have no interest in the comics, and they're not even talking to anyone who has read the comics. And that is just pisses me off. And then they say that they're here to bring their, and then they'll list their 10, you know, oppressed people that they want to bring their message about into the material. It's like, okay, so not, it would be bad enough if you wanted to do that messaging anyway, you know, if by being pushed from above from a giant corporation, et cetera, but you're going to do that and you're not even going to bother with the source material, then why not just make some other bullshit? Why you got to take Shang-Chi? I mean, I don't care about Shang-Chi, but you know what I'm saying? Why you got to take characters that already exist and put your message on top of them when you don't even care? At least take the time to know what you're going to ruin. You know, how are you going to at least know what you're ruining? That's all I ask. At least know what you're destroying from me.
Right. So, just to sum that up, I think, you know, these guys going off, they'll be able to bring us some better quality stories, you know, to keep my interest. I mean,
I went on such a rant. I almost forgot we were talking about this other company, Ghost Machine.
Yeah. I mean, it's called. Yeah. And there's another label too. I forget, Jock's moving over there and putting out his own book. I forget what that one's called. So there's a couple of other artists that are doing very similar things, and I think that's going to be great for the industry to just bring out fresh new stories that we haven't heard before. You know, there's a lot of creators out there that are doing just that. I think Jeff Lemire is probably one of the mainstream artists that I can, or writers that I can name, that kind of just goes out on a limb with his stories.
He's been going wild in the indie scene. I mean, yeah, it's been amazing. There's been so many. I mean, there's a few creators. I think Hickman is doing his own thing, too. He was working through Substack. There's creators that are finding all these different ways to. And the real winning formula actually seems to be, it almost seems like it's the reverse of how it might have been 30 years ago. 30 years ago, artists, writers, they're taking any little job they can get. They're working on their indie stuff. They're just trying to get noticed. They're creating their own stuff. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Eastman and Laird. And then maybe they'll get attention someday and they can finally go make it big and work for Marvel or DC. Now it seems like these creators, they get their foot in the door at Marvel and DC. And when it's time to level up, you get out the door and you go do your own thing. And you don't just take a salary to go work on somebody else's shit. You go make your own book. You own your own creation. You cut out all the middlemen, all the whole HR department, the ESG department. You cut all this shit out and you do it yourself. So I think it's awesome.
You know, social media, internet has made that so much easier for them to do, to get their, you know, to get their product out there, you know, to make people aware of it.
Yeah. Look, we live in a day and age where literally literally any asshole can just start a podcast. Look where I am right now. So Evan is right here. So thank you so much, Eric, for coming on. Why don't we just sum up? Do you have any final thoughts on just the overall convention and just like, I guess what advice you would give? I mean, this has all been advice, but if there was to say one word of advice to give someone who is like, you know what? I've never been, I'm going to a convention. Where would you start them off?
So there's one thing I wanted to mention before we go into the closing remarks. I just stopped by Josh Williamson's booth too.
He's writing books right as he's like,
yeah, he was like, just let me finish this line right
just
here.
Just finishing up Superman number 8. Give me a second.
All done. And I talked to him about the Rogues, which you guys gave a 20.
A very rare SBC score.
So I talked to him about it. I said, it's one of the best books I've read, you know, in the past like year and a half. And he's like, I'm glad you liked it. He's like, nobody else did.
Really?
He's like, it's one of the lowest selling books that they had. And I was like, that's disappointing. He's like, it's
not at least critically acclaimed.
It might be. He's like,
yeah, but I don't make money off that. So
yeah. He's like, it came out around Dark Crisis, so it got buried.
Oh, is that when it came out? I didn't realize it was that current.
It is that current. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Because I actually read, I read Dark Crisis like an idiot. I should have been reading Rogues.
Well, you did.
Well, I did. I did eventually. Yes. Thanks to you. Wow.
But yeah, I thought that was an interesting tidbit. But, you know, like I said before, a lot of the creators are super friendly. You know, so it's well worth your while going in to Artist Alley and talking to people.
I guess what's nice about comic creators, it's like the only people that are obsessed with them or think that they're cool are nerdy dudes. They're not, you know, they're not batting off like hordes of models, supermodels or anything like that. So I don't, it probably doesn't go to their head as much as say someone who makes it big in a lot of other industries.
Right. That's true.
That's what I would, if it's anything like podcasting, but final thoughts on the convention and maybe just, I don't know, maybe just a word of advice on where you would point someone who's like, you know what? Fuck it. I heard this episode. Eric's right. I got to get to a convention. I've got to be a real fan.
Yeah. You know, I think if you've got to go, one word of advice, just plan your trip. I can't stress that enough. If there's
not
something,
just the trip, but your days too, right?
Like your days. Yeah. So if you have stuff that you want to do, make sure you're planning it out and don't cram too much into a day. Make sure you have enough time in there to relax. You want a breather. You need to get off your feet. You need to make sure that you're going to be standing in line a lot. So make sure that you have time built in for all of that stuff and make sure you enjoy yourself. You don't want to be running around like a lunatic like I was on day one and kill yourself by the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I think by the end of the day, I had 110 comics in a duffel bag and a backpack. And I was sore as heck by the end of day one.
Wow.
But I got everything I wanted because I planned ahead. I knew exactly what booths I was going to, what books I wanted, and what signatures I wanted to get.
And then you could be more casual the other days where you're not just racing to get every book in the world.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So, you know, if you've got multiple days, spread it out and just enjoy yourself. You know, that's what it's there for.
All right. Some good advice, Eric. Appreciate the on the ground report. I know you got nothing to plug or promote, so just keep listening to this show, everybody. And we'll see you next time. Until then, read comics and change the world.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.